Welcome to Innovation Calling,
the podcast where we connect the creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Aaron Smith
and Sia Yasotornra.
Hey, it's Aaron. And before we jump into this next episode, I want to make sure you know that you are invited to join us for our next live podcasting event, which is on April 9th, once again in Dallas, Texas. We're going to be hosting Crystal Christensen, who's the VP of Tech Support at SonicWall. And once again, this is for our Women in Tech Leadership series. So come for networking, come for wine, come for food, but make sure you join us again April 9th. Tickets, once again, are going to be limited, so jump over to innovationcalling.com to grab yours today, and hopefully we'll see you then. For now, here is our next episode with Pete DeNagy. All right, welcome to another episode of Innovation Calling. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I'm Sia Yasotornra.
Sia, you get the intros today of our guests.
I was super excited here. So we are thrilled to finally nab a most lively guest, Mr. Pete DeNagy. Pete is the president of Internet of Things America, a managed service provider focused on managed IoT connectivity and IoT solution integration for servicing all of rural America.
You got the rural. Woo!
So Pete has previously served as a former chair at the IoT Forum for the Technology Association in North Texas, aka Tech Titans, and he has graciously sat on its board as well. Pete, Mr. DeNagy, welcome to the Innovation Calling Podcast.
See ya, Aaron. It's great to see you both, and thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming.
And as always, we expect a great conversation from you, so no pressure at all, Pete.
We're hoping you'll talk. I know that's hard for you.
I think I'll be able to comply.
Okay.
Okay, so tell us about IoT America.
So IoT America is a managed services provider servicing rural America. We manage connectivity that exists, and if connectivity does not exist, we instantiate LPWAN technologies, predominantly LoRaWAN, to service sensors for farmers, for ranchers, for small towns and businesses, as well as oil and gas applications where connectivity deserts exist in America.
Well, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. Can you give some really, you've got really great examples of case studies, like how you're helping people. Growing up on a farm, I think this is incredible. Can you give a couple of the things that you guys have implemented or are implementing that you can talk about?
Sure. Happy to do so. So there's a large cooperative dairy in Wisconsin that we're actually putting in applications for bin management, for silo management, the ability to go and track assets throughout the cooperative dairy and their 200 locations. So one of the problems that they have is water troughs go empty. Dumpsters are full. And as you know, on dairies and ranches, you have great expanses. Previously, they used to have to send people out to see if, you know, the asset is there, the dumpster needs to be emptied, you know, the silo, where what the level is. Okay. With IoT, we can instantiate sensors to measure all those capabilities and then allow for the personnel to do other tasks, getting signals as to when they need to empty the trash, fill the silo, or, you know, track the tractor. Because believe it or not, on large farms and ranches, you know, people lose assets. I mean, they don't lose them per se. They misplace them. And on thousands of acres, it's really hard to find where you put that last piece of equipment that you need right now.
Or just even cattle. I mean, you have enough cattle, like, one could get lost very easily and you have no idea.
So another use case that we have, speaking about cattle, and this is actually really cool. So in Illinois, there's a 3,500 acre reserve where they have brought native bison back to southern Illinois. Now, bison used to natively roam Illinois back in the day. And what they did is they dedicated this land to bring purebred bison back from Yellowstone and have bred a herd. And the herd now is roaming freely on the on the reserve. What we are going to be doing is putting cattle tags on the bison so we can actually locate them on the 3,500 acres, because you would think that a bison, which is pretty much twice as big as a cow, you know, could be easily found. Well, on 3,500 acres, you don't know where they are. So, you know, we can easily track them now. And moreover than track them, this is really important, and this is really big for ranchers as well. You can geofence your ranch. So what ends up happening is you don't necessarily need to know at any given moment in time if a cow or, you know, a buffalo or a bison, you know, is on the ranch, but you sure as heck want to know instantaneously when it leaves the ranch.
100%.
Right.
Yeah. Because actually, speaking of bison, my dad's next door neighbor does bison, and one bison got lost. And you're waiting for a neighbor to call and say, there's a buffalo in my yard. I mean, that's
big.
Rural America. Yeah.
And by the way, bison are a little surly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to tame them as much.
No.
Yeah.
You know, so another use case we're doing is for a large John Deere dealer in Iowa. Okay. They have 10 locations. So they want to track the assets. Now, please note, you don't necessarily need to track the $500,000 combine, because nobody really goes out and steals those because they don't go fast and where are you going to put them, right? However, most of those dealers have spreaders and tillers and sprayers and mid-range tractors and augers and front loaders that they sell, and that can be put on your F-150 and carted away. So what we're doing is we're actually using asset tags to tag the assets and tuning the assets so that as it goes from store to store, and they have 10, they can actually track the assets when they leave, when they come back, where they are, where they put them. And then, you know, when they're sold, they can remove the tag and tag a new piece of equipment.
So can you talk about your technology and why now? Like, why now this is possible? Because obviously you're going for the rural areas.
Yeah. So sensors have been around. You know, Texas Instruments came out with the sensors in the early 1950s. So sensor technology has been around for a very long time. Why we have come to do what we do is that 40.8% of the U.S. landmass is occupied by 3.5 million people, okay? The problem at hand, when you look at the wireless penetration maps from Verizon and AT&T and Sprint and T-Mobile, okay, they cover the United States. And they do a good job. But when you peel down deeply, they cover the roads. They cover maybe the farmhouse, where the people live, because there's a metric in wireless technology called ARPU, which is average revenue per user. And cows don't use cell phones.
Right.
Okay. Corn stalks don't use cell phones. And so they architect the wireless signals to cover the people, but not the farms. Now, the farms need to have better data to grow better crops, to grow, you know, to improve livestock health, to manage infrastructure on the farm, but there's no wireless connectivity. So getting to your question, why now? So in 2015, a new standard was born, and that standard is called LoRa, and it's spelled L-O-R-A. The R is capitalized, it's one word, and it stands literally for long range. So the standard was established in 2015, it has become quite mature now and ready for deployment. Europe is ahead of us, Asia is ahead of us, and we are looking forward to bringing this technology to the United States. And in our model, we're partnering with the wireless carriers. We're partnering with the rural broadband providers. We're partnering with the wireless internet service providers to leverage their connectivity to bring the data backhaul back to the cloud. So think of a wireless carrier has a service and it ends at the farmhouse. We can actually put a LoRa gateway out and extend the coverage. and one gateway will only connect 20,000 concurrent sensors over a 10-kilometer radius. And if you do the math on a 10-kilometer radius, it's slightly more than 75,000 acres.
Wow.
Okay, so we can put in one gateway up, cover many farms. The average farm in the United States, per the 2012 census of farms and ranches, is about 504 acres.
Wow.
So that's why now, and that's why today, in partnering with carriers, we're working with lots of carriers, talking to them from the very biggest, and I do mean the very biggest, to small, little rural, carriers that have 2,000 customers. I will tell you that publicly, we announced our go-to-market nationally in their footprint with U.S. Cellular. So U.S. Cellular is partnering with us in their footprint to cover rural America and extend their network with IoT applications. I mean,
it is such an underserved market and space, and people mm-hmm. don't realize how much business is actually being going on or doing in those places. I mean, you don't, just don't think about it. I'm sorry. I go to the supermarket and I expect my vegetables to show up and my meat to be, pleasantly packed and all that good stuff. So what you're saying to me then is you guys are helping foster or help agriculture move forward, embracing IoT as a way to help automate a lot of certain activities. Is that a fair way to put it?
So absolutely. What we're doing is we are helping farmers and the entire supply chain, move forward. So there's a big farm-to-table movement, not only nationally, but worldwide. Well, farmers in the United States are having trouble selling their produce and their products and their livestock overseas because Europe and Asia have much stricter rules on farm-to-table, right? So they want to know where the cow was born, where the pig was born, how the pig and how the cow was processed, where the chicken, what type was it, organic, not organic, what the lifestyle was, and how it was processed, right? And there, we do this with people and HIPAA using EMR, EHR systems, electronic medical record systems. There are no electronic medical record standards for livestock. Okay, this is a problem, and we're working to address this. So that's one thing. So secondly, we are looking to help yields because this is a big problem. So you said it's a big market. So the agriculture market in the United States is $500 billion business.
Wow.
Okay. And when times are good, people eat. And when times are bad, people eat. Okay. And oh, by the way, there are 7.1 billion people on Earth today. By 2050, there will be 9 billion people. There is less land being farmed every year. There are fewer farmers farming the land every year. The age of farmers are going up every year. And oh, by the way, the resources available for farming and ranching, at best, they're static. Okay. There is no more water, being generated. It is at best a steady state process. 70% of all water used in the United States is on agriculture.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. So, and some crops, are not, very, very efficient in doing that. IoT and sensor technology will afford greater, resource leveraging and higher precision in the deployment of these resources. Case in point, the number one crop in America for water usage, and most people don't guess this, so I'm not going to ask you to guess, it's almonds and walnuts.
I would not have guessed that.
Okay, no, so the almond and walnut trees in California.
I was going to say California is okay, a huge almond.
They use the most water. Well, they're in Northern California and in the Central Valley. Well, the water restrictions have not historically applied to them because they drill wells. So the water table is lowering in California, which, of course, hinders all the people there. Now, there are new regulations about water runoff that will help that. So the tree growers are now using precision, metrics in deploying the water and can reduce their water deployment by up to 90% and yet see the same yield. Okay. One of the biggest problems with pivots in the farmland, right? You know, we've all seen this, you know, farmers, you know, they want to go and water the crops, right? Well, the problem is that you need to be precise. If the ground is already too wet, if you water too much, you ruin the crop.
Yeah.
If it is too dry, the crop doesn't grow. If you put sensors in the ground, you can actually measure the water content in the soil and correctly, on demand, water as needed to maximize yield. And if you don't have wireless connectivity in the field, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. No, 100%.
It's just like a no-brainer to me. So are you seeing the agricultural industry embrace what you guys and your service is doing, or is there still a lot of education that needs to happen to get them to embrace technology?
That's a great question. The answer to both is yes.
Okay.
Okay. So people are embracing this like never before. And yes, there's a lot of education that has to come up with, because there is a new generation of farmer, that is technology savvy. You know, farmers and ranchers are some of the smartest people known to man, right? They're also the biggest gamblers, because they bet every year on themselves they're going to have a good crop, right? And they're betting on their know-how. Now, the one thing with regard to that, if they have a great crop, you know, the good news is they can sell a lot. The bad news is if everybody has a great crop, the price goes down. Doesn't work that much. You know, and the converse is true too. So the maximization of yields will also help, especially with analytics and AI associated to that. Now, technology companies like John Deere, Monsanto, CNH, Case New Holland, are deploying sensor technology. As a matter of fact, John Deere has deployed 14.6 million sensors in their tractors.
Wow.
And they're deploying the analytics now. And you know, they use cellular data. But the problem is, if there's no connectivity in the field, what do you do with the data that the tractor, you know, gets?
Right.
Well, they cache the data.
And they have to upload it
and
later.
They have to upload it or put it on a stick when the data comes back to the farmhouse. Well, here's the problem. These are big combines, right? They don't drive back to the barn every night.
No,
you know, they might be out for weeks in the field.
Right.
So, and then, you know, if you did satellite, which is viable and tenable, it's spendy.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. No, I mean, you basically nailed what I was asking. I was like, what's going on out there? You know, it seems like, again, ripe. The industry's ripe for that type of technology.
No pun intended that the industry's ripe, right?
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. I'm a little slow today. Apparently, I'm not getting my own jokes that I'm making up. So you guys had seen that the rural industry, you know, has this need. How long – if I'm trying to remember, you guys were founded how many years ago?
So that's a great question.
Because you guys predated, don't you, a lot of the technology that we're leveraging now? You guys were all early adopters.
So we had a really interesting story how we got started. Okay, so it was almost 2 years ago. I spent a time on the IoT advisory board for TIA, and TIA is the Telecommunications Industry Association. And I was on the panel with Steve Pistorovic, who is the Vice President of Innovation and Technology for the Rural Broadband Association. And Steve asked me to be the keynote speaker for the Rural Broadband Association's technology show in April of 2017 in St. Louis, which I gladly accepted. So there are 500 people in the audience, almost all farmers and ranchers who sit on boards of rural telecoms. And we're talking about standard technology issues, how a rural broadband company is going to make money in 2020, NFV, SDN, SD-WAN, GPON, G.fast, these type of, you know, telecommunication technologies. And we got into low-powered wide area network technologies. And I asked the question of the audience, how many of you are looking at LPWAN technologies? So there are 500 people in the audience, as I said. Five hands go up. And I'm saying to myself, see, self, that's 1%. That's really bad.
That is bad.
That's really bad. Yeah. So then I ask the next question. Okay, of you five people, how many of you are actively doing a trial? So there's these two gentlemen sitting next to them, still have their hands up. All the other hands are down. And I asked the fateful last question, do you both work for the same company? And they said, yes. Yes, we both work for the same company. And I'm saying to myself, they have 852 members and one company is looking at this. And this is such an opportunity. Why? So I ended up flying United that day. And it was the day after the guy got drug off the plane. It was, and so, of course, I was late for my plane because I talked too much. And I I missed my plane, went from St. Louis to Houston to Dallas, and I got rerouted on the next plane that went from St. Louis to Chicago to Dallas.
Oh, that's insanity.
7 hours later. So I had a lot of time to think about it. I'm thinking to myself, why are these people not doing this? And the reason for it is the average size of a rural broadband carrier is 100 people, and they don't have analytics engineers. And they don't have big data scientists, and they don't have 7x24x365 data, you know, call centers, and they don't have data centers, many of them. And they're not going to be able to instantiate the data and make it actionable. So they need an MSP to come in and help them.
Right.
So I went and talked to Steve Pistorovic at the Broadband Association about my idea, and he said, yeah, this is a great idea. Why don't you come to our executive meeting in September and talk to directors and general managers of telcos? So we actually talked to 100 rural broadband carriers about the concept, my partner Dan Croft and I. And we got 100 companies that said, that's a great idea. I mean, I'd never in my life had talked to 100 separate companies and got no one saying, this is a bad idea. So then we said, well, we have to do this. So then we started to raise money, which we were pretty successful. And we raised almost all the money we wanted to raise. We still have a little bit left to do. And then at that point, we launched the company. So the idea of the company was 2 years ago. We formally launched on June 1st of 2018. And since then, we've loaded and signed up partners. We have instantiated, you know, solutions and whatnot. One of the things that I also want to say is, as we are standing up service and connectivity, we realize that farmers and ranchers, while they're really smart, they don't want to go and source sensors and solutions. So they want things that are easy and prepackaged and have demonstrable ROIs, TCOs, or compliance characteristics. So we've actually put together a marketplace of solutions, pre-assembled, pre-built for the farmers, ranchers, and small towns, and because of them, think of it as iTunes for ag tech.
I was just gonna say it's like a IoT in a box or something, right?
That's exactly right. Because you have to, you know, why IoT? And I really hate the term IoT, but it isn't in my company name.
why? I learned to love it.
You know, why IoT has not been wildly successful right now is because it's hard. IoT is hard. You have to take sensors, get a communication stack that goes to an aggregation point like a gateway that takes it to a communication stack that puts it into a cloud infrastructure. And the cloud infrastructure gathers all the data, and then you send it off to an analytics engine to go and do some with visualization tools to go make the data actionable, and then you send it off to a BPM or rules engine and or a workflow engine to go and give you historic, real-time, and predictive results based on the data, okay? Now, I just said a lot, and you could do a podcast on every single element of what I just said.
Yeah.
Okay? And by the way, you asked me a question before this. You said, you know, I don't believe there is such a thing called IoT, right? IoT doesn't actually exist. You know, they give PhDs to every single element of the stack that I just talked about. PhDs in big data, in analytics, in visualization, in workflow, communication technology, sensor technology, you know, all of that. You get a PhD. You can't get a PhD in IoT. It doesn't exist. Right? Now, people are starting to do degrees in IoTs. IoT is a great catch-all phrase to the complexity of the workflow.
Okay.
But really, what IoT does is it takes data from sensors, compiles it, and presents it in a way to make the data actionable. You want to take the sensor data and learn what you can do to improve results. And this is not just an agricultural schema. This is a manufacturing or a healthcare or, you know, connected car or anything. You know, IoT is all about taking sensor data and doing something with it.
So how are you guys? So, all right, it's great. I know where my cows are, right? How are you guys taking
And they haven't
that
come home yet, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
Still waiting. But how do you take that? What's the next step for you all? So obviously, you know, I know as a farmer where my cows are. I know how my soil is doing. What's the next step for your? Is it your company looking at all that data? Or is it other companies? Like, how? What are you doing with all that data that the sensors are providing?
That's a great question. So what we do is we put up the gateways that send out the signal. We have on our catalog solutions and sensors that can be deployed in farms and ranches. The data comes into our cloud instance, okay? So we actually maintain the cloud of all the data, and all the sensors are instantiated with metadata, you know, so we know what farmer has what sensor, and we have a lat long on each one, so we know where it goes. And then from our lake, all of the individual solutions do a RESTful API call into the lake to pull the raw data out and extract that so that they can get nice dashboards and data, you know, for the application. I mean, case in point, I'm going to go to pigs because we've been talking about cows a lot, right? So there are at any given time 140 million pigs in the United States. Okay. You would not have guessed that. Pig's lifespan is 165 days. In the swine industry, they call it going from squeal to meal.
Okay, I'm very sad. I love pigs.
And but
I
you love bacon.
Bacon. I know, right, and anyway. I'm very sad. You told me 165 days, that just breaks my heart. I'm sorry, pigs.
And at 165 days, the pig is 275 pounds. The pig is sold at $1 a pound wholesale. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Now, there is a premature mortality rate for pigs on the farm of 10 to 12%. And remember, I said there's 140 million pigs at 165 days, which means there's two crops every year. So that's 280 million pigs. Okay. If you have a 10% shrinkage in a business, you get fired.
Well, what do you mean that it's like, It's underweight. It should have weighed more.
No, or
what do you
I mean
like,
the pigs die.
They just die.
Oh, okay.
So the pigs die.
Now
from
10% of pigs die.
Disease, whatever.
They have heart attacks. They fall off.
Gotcha.
They break out and never found again. Right. So that means there are 28 million pigs that don't make it to market. Now, from an economic perspective, I know you love pigs, but from an economic perspective, you multiply 28 million pigs by $275, okay, you're talking about a $1 billion problem.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can put a sensor in a pig's ear that, because you don't have to locate them because they're in CAFOs, they're in, you know, 200, they're typically in pens of 200, yeah. Right? You can measure their pulse ox, their respiration, their heart rate, and their temperature. Because the problem with pigs is that they get sick. And when they get sick, since they're 200 to a pen, they all get sick.
Yep. Yeah.
So if I can tell within 15 minutes
that
I have a spike in the temperature, I can find the pig, I can isolate the pig, I can help get that pig healthy before it dies. And save the other 199.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is about a $44,000 or more savings for the rancher. That's substantive. Now, with cows, you can do the same thing. You can do location. You can do health. You can do oxygen. There are sensors for breeding, for heat. You know, there are sensors to, you know, assist in birthing. Now, let's say you had cows and you lived in, I don't know, Wisconsin.
Who's done that,
right? So if a cow is born in, let's say, February, when many cows are born, right, the rancher has to go and assist, primarily for two reasons. You know, well, three reasons. One, you don't want the harm coming to the mother or the calf in the birth, right? Secondly, in Wisconsin, if a calf is unattended, it very likely could freeze to death.
Right.
Okay. And third, they get abandoned, they get stepped on, they what have you. So dairy farmers usually end up spending a day or two in the barn per cow, hopefully they have several doing it at the same time, but during birthing season, okay? With IoT sensors, you can sensor up the tail of the cow, monitor the progress, and come in just in time to catch. Everybody's happier. These are applications and use cases.
Right. I'm still thinking about the poor pigs. It's such a sad fact. I know I'm a meat eater, and I just don't like knowing what's going on. Yeah. It breaks my heart at the same time. I still love bacon, so I'm coming to grips with it right now. Yeah. So could you argue then that based on your experience here with IoT America as you started the business, would you say the agricultural industry is embracing IoT faster than our enterprise space here? Out here in us city suburb folks?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No?
No, I actually, so they're lagging because of the problem that we went out to solve, and that is the connectivity gap.
Problem. Yeah. But once you're solving that, I could see where it would be a no-brainer to just go ahead and deploy this.
Well, there's still you've got to have like a level of like a certain size farm, right? I mean, what's your minimum? Not every farmer is going to make an ROI case out of this.
Yeah. Okay. We actually assist in the ROI, right? So case in point, you have to, so let's talk about a soil sensor because I like making it different, right?
Yeah.
So if let's say you're raising sorghum or corn.
What is sorghum, by the way?
It's a grain.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so you need to deploy nitrogen, okay, to your crop to enhance the growth, okay? Here's the problem. If you put too much nitrogen on, you burn the crop out. If you put too little on, you don't effectively enhance the crop. If you do it at the wrong time, you get poor results. And oh, by the way, it costs $200 an acre to deploy nitrogen. So you better not screw it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So what ends up happening is you have to go and monitor it. Soil sensors can actually measure the nitrogen level spot on demand and help with the timing and the deployment, increasing yields.
That's crazy. So knowing that you know now, seeing the state of IoT, what do you think the next 5, 10 years, or what do you predict that you're going to see IoT in the RURAL community?
So in rural America,
I can't say that word. It's my Achilles.
In rural America, you're going to find that IoT deployments will take a massive uptake, right? IoT has been very, very well embraced for years and years and years in manufacturing.
Right.
Right. As a matter of fact, in SCADA systems, IoT has been deployed with great fervor. Okay, rural America is going to get there, and it's going to get there quickly. The issues, and Aaron hit it just on the head, the ROI cases have to be right, right? So one of the breakthroughs that have just happened and will continue to happen is that the cost of nitrogen sensors, as an example, have come way down based on technology. So a good nitrogen sensor before was $1,400 per sensor. Now they've come down to a couple hundred bucks. Improving the ROI greatly.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes more sense.
So the cost of sensors is going to drop. We'll just leverage Moore's law, right? The processing speed doubles and the cost halves 18 months, right? Mm-hmm. So same thing will happen with the sensors. More sensor manufacturers will use LoRa. Right now, people are, predominantly doing LTE, and now they're migrating to Cat M1, which are LTE technologies. You hear a lot of play on NB-IoT, which is going to be terrific, which is a new cellular technology for sensors. So that's going to be phenomenal. And you're going to see all sorts of applications going forward. And of course, 5G will be impactful as well. But 5G is not going to come to rural America anytime soon. The convergence of all these technologies will impact rural America and get us to where we need to be so that food is better.
Yeah.
Food is less money, and food's going to feed us all.
Excellent. So it looks like we're wrapping up on time here. So, Pete, if someone wants to learn more about Internet of Things America, how can they get a hold of you or your team?
It's really simple. Our website is www.iot-americas, and that's plural, .com. Okay. And, you know, by all means, you know, send us an inquiry. We'd love to talk to you directly. You can reach us also via our LinkedIn page and our Twitter feed as well, which again is IoT Americas.
And we'll put that all on our notes page over at innovationcalling.com.
Exactly. So, Pete, thank you so much for your time. As always, it's really fun and entertaining to chat with you. And you've disturbed me. I'm still thinking about those poor pigs. But on that note, Internet of Things Americas, I think there's great, great things in your guys' future. And I really look forward to seeing your success.
Well, thank you. You know, our motto is really simple. You know, we intend on doing well by doing good.
Oh, I love it.
Love it. And I guess that wraps up for another episode of Innovation Calling.